Lord, we just come into your presence tonight. Father, we bring sacrifice of praise. Lord, we bring you songs and worship and praise tonight. And Lord, we just magnify your name and lift your name up, Lord, because you said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. And Lord, our heart's desire is that all men would be drawn unto you. So we lift up your name tonight. Lord, just be with us. Draw us close to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord.
One more time.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God.
What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God.
What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
One more time.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel, mighty indeed.
Mighty indeed.
Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel, mighty indeed.
Mighty indeed.
Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee.
One more time.
Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel, mighty indeed.
Mighty indeed.
Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
On the way home from my dad's last Saturday. over a hill, probably faster than I should have been. There's a driveway and right over to the peak of the hill where someone in the middle of the road side of it. And I didn't know what to do. So initially I just pushed the brakes and I knew that wasn't working, so I figured I'd go on the ditch. Somehow we whipped all the way around the car. Sideways, all down the road. Probably 3, 4, 5 blocks. Just out of control on the road. And a few times I felt like giving up because I was just, I was steering like that. And we ended up making it and eventually got control and just kept driving. And I know there's no way that we could have made it around the car. Except for the grace of God allowing us to stay on the road, because I don't know if you've ever, I know you've driven on ice, but once you start in one direction on ice, you usually stay in that direction unless acted upon by another force. And somehow we went from here within 100, 200 feet, I don't know, went straight on in this lane, all the way over this lane, and then down the road. So God spared our lives then.
He's a good God. He even watches out for us when we do crazy things. Usually. Hallelujah. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a land on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Okay, it's not really about me, but just saying how proud I am of somebody. Yesterday was my last wrestling tournament, and I had just gotten finished, and I was in the locker room showering up, and Boysville was in our locker room with us. And this kid comes up to me and says, "So you're related to Ryan?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm related to Ryan." He's like, "Yeah, he's pretty cool." And Ryan says he gets teased a little bit, so I asked the boy if it was true. The boy's like, "Yeah, I guess." And he's like, "I don't tease him, though." And then he mentioned that Ryan was cool, except for he had some weird beliefs. And I looked at the kid, I said, "Hey, watch it, I got the same beliefs." But just to the kid, the kid to go to school with Ryan and know that Ryan has some beliefs, I thought that was awesome, and it really is proving that Ryan is going to school and doing a good thing, and so I thought that was kind of cool.
So Ryan's got some weird beliefs, huh?
Ooh. Ooh.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free.
He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to save. Glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too. And glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to save. For glory to God, he set me free.
Hallelujah. Are you free tonight because of him? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, he said that if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's see. Last, I think it was maybe a week or two ago, and I was driving to Baldwin, me and Travis.
Did you have your license plates yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we were going to Baldwin to get, I don't remember what we were doing.
Coming back from Barbers.
What?
Coming back from Barbers.
Was that, okay.
Whatever.
Whatever, yeah. Anyway, we were coming back from Marks, and I was kind of going a little fast. Not too fast, but that's fast enough where I went through Baldwin, their road, and it's like almost clear ice that day. And we were coming by a stop sign, and I didn't see the stop sign right away, so I like slammed on my brakes, and we ended up, I didn't slam, but you know, just, okay, I pumped my brakes, and then it didn't work, so I pushed down all the way on the brakes, and they locked up on me. So then we started sliding past the stop sign, and I didn't notice that there was a car coming on the other side, and it was like an old guy, and but he was going fast compared to normal guys. Anyway, we ended up getting clear through it, but what happened was the guy had to, we were coming up probably about that far, and the guy had to swerve around. He acted like he's done this forever. He's been through this.
Maybe
like,
he has.
But it was like nothing to him. Me and Travis, we're holding on to get hit because we couldn't do nothing. It was like that quick.
You could do something. You could slow down.
Yeah.
Ahead of time.
So or you could have just hit the gas.
You were him.
What?
He was with that old guy too.
Yeah. These were both of us. And Chip, so three of us. I was at school last week and I was talking about my Bible study starting up and everything. And I had a kid that used to be a Jehovah's Witness. He stopped believing in Jehovah and everything. The belief anyway. And
okay.
Anyway, he came up to me and he's like, you know what you should do? You should slow down in religion. I go, why? Then I become like you. And he's like, what do you mean? And I go, well, you were a couple years back when you were saying that being a Jehovah's Witness was the only way of getting into heaven and everything. And I was like, well, if you felt so strongly about it, why did you stop? And we kept on talking. I think it's kind of a testimony because I have kids in my school that are telling me that I should slow down, but yet I'm not. I'm going faster.
Invited to your Bible
study. That's what I got going so far. I'm going to try to get out as many people as I can to my Bible study. I'm starting it Thursday, and it's going to be on like either 7 o'clock or 7:15.
Where?
At my school.
Okay. What, I got two?
Got the posters made.
Let little sister be first.
Okay, Tom called today, and he said that he's getting like a lot of good positions because he's working hard, and they're just giving him a lot of freedom and stuff. So this week he's in charge of one of the sessions down there, and he has to stay up from 4 o'clock in the morning, Thursday morning, till 9 o'clock Friday night, because he's in charge of it, and he has to look over 2,100 men, something like that. So he's gonna laugh from next.
So where is he at?
He's still in the Great Lakes.
Well, last week, I walked in late, as most of you noticed. Maya and I were supposed to stay here to work on the human video, and Luke took Maya to her house and came back, and they were gone for well over half an hour by the time I left. And Travis and I left, actually, and with your road being the way it was, with the
nice
drop offs.
It's not my road. I have nothing to do with that road.
But it's icy and weather's still on the hill, and Luke had bald tires on his car. Probably still does. And obviously, as he told today, he's pretty much a crazy driver, and I was worried about him. Maybe they went into a ditch with all the trees and stuff. So Travis and I headed out there, and when I got down to your driveway, slowed down to pull into your driveway, well, I slid a little bit too far, and my front left tire went in the ditch. Travis and I tried pushing it open, and I pulled farther in the ditch. But luckily, your neighbor across the street, your new neighbor, was nice enough to pull us out of the ditch with this tractor. A couple, about a half a foot to a foot farther, we would have fallen in the culvert right there. Mm-hmm. The front tire would have been in the culvert. So.
It's about 6 feet deep.
Yeah, and so thankfully the guy didn't quite go into the culvert.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
That's what I was afraid of that one. When I was bringing my home, to her house and coming down the hill. It was crazy. I was like, "My, how can you guys drive up this hill?"
We go very slow. Anybody else?
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Verse 4.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at
at Calvary.
Hallelujah. Good song. Good song. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows unto your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness. Ever changing from glory to glory, mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nation with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord.
Spirit of the sovereign God is upon you, because he has anointed you to preach good news. The Spirit of the sovereign God is upon you, because he has anointed you to preach
good news. He has sent you to the poor.
This is the year
to bind up the broken hearted.
This is the day
to bring freedom to the captive. To release the ones in darkness. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. This is the day of the vengeance of our God. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. This is the day of the vengeance of our God. The Spirit of the Sovereign God is upon you, because He has anointed you to preach good news. The Spirit of the Sovereign God is upon you, because He has anointed you to preach good news. He will comfort all who mourn. He will provide for those who grieve in Zion. He's pouring out His oil of gladness.
This is the year.
Instead of mourning, we will praise. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. This is the day of the vengeance of our God. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. This is the day of the vengeance of our God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
One more time.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Hallelujah.
Idolatrous love affairs. It's Valentine's Day. We usually preach on the love of God or how to love each other or something like that. But tonight it ought to be a little bit different to teach about and look at some verses that talk about some dangerous love affairs, some things to be wary of. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, creeps, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, we thank you for your word this evening, and Lord, we don't want to be involved in any of these dangerous love affairs. We want to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we ask, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit tonight, you would warn us if we are tending to go wayward with our heart to follow after any of these affairs. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is a book that tells it all. In it, we find out how Samson engaged in a dangerous love affair with Delilah. We find out how Solomon played loosely with many women, and these women helped turn his heart away from God. David also, the man after God's own heart, was guilty of loving the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And all of these situations brought sad and bad conditions among the children of God. In this message tonight, we're going to think about the dangerous love affairs in which many are engaging today. And you know, some of these love affairs might even be more dangerous than the ones that we had mentioned. Because some of these love affairs will not only bring physical destruction and harm, but also spiritual destruction and harm and damnation even to our souls. So the first love affair is found in John chapter 12 and verse 43, the first one we're going to talk about. John chapter 12 and verse 43. So, Nick, you had that one. Could you just stand up and read it nice and loud so everybody can hear?
So they loved praise from men more than praise from God.
Okay, that is a dangerous love affair, to love the praise of men more than the praise of God. In the context of this verse being given, Jesus was preaching from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where it says, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, so they won't be able to hear, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." So there were some that would not be willing to confess Jesus openly. You know, there are people like that today. They call themselves Christians, and yet nobody knows it. They are afraid to open and confess Jesus before men, to speak publicly about him. I was glad to hear the testimony about Ryan tonight. And some of you teenagers there in your high schools, you're not afraid to speak for Jesus. And let people know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That's great. You should always seek his approval above the praises of men. But you maybe have known people like this. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And when it comes to speaking up for Jesus or to standing up for him, they're nowhere to be found. Even today, many people know the truth, but they won't take a stand for it. They want the approval of people. Many love their social positions more than they love God. And in order to get the praise of men, they may praise themselves. The man who sings his own praise is usually off key. The man who sings his own praise is usually off key. We don't need to praise ourselves. We don't try to get the approval of man for ourselves. What we need is approved of God, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The second love affair is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10.
For the love.
Oh, sorry, Mary. Didn't mean to interrupt.
For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some covet after, they have pierced through faith, and pierced through with many sorrows.
Okay. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, but it says loving money is the root of all evil. Many people think that money is their security. But actually, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 there. I'd like you to see some of the surrounding verses of that passage that Mary read for us. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me actually read some verses before that, starting with verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is a possibility we can carry nothing out. No, it is a certainty, right, that we can carry nothing out. You hear about the man who was knowing that he was going to die, and he made his wife promise that she would put all of their money in the casket with him. He wanted to be able to buy his way into heaven or whatever to make himself secure in the afterlife. So this wise woman, willing to honor her husband's request, but not willing to be totally destitute and giving all of their life savings, wrote out a check, put the check in the casket with her deceased husband. That was a pretty good way to do it. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will be able to carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, clothing, let us therewith be content. As God has provided everything that we need for our present happiness. But they that will be rich fall into temptation. Those that want to be rich. And a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And then the verse, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, breaking the 10th commandment, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9 there warns us that money is not our security. A few years ago, a colonist by the name of Jim Bishop reported what happened to people who won the state lottery. Just a couple of examples taken from that article. Rosa Grayson of Washington won not a large amount, but $400 a week for life. She hides in her apartment. For the first time in her life, she has what she says is nerves. Everyone tries to put the touch on her. People are so mean, she said. I hope you win the lottery and see what happens to you. That's like a curse. I hope you get cursed by winning the lottery. You think it's so great? See what happens to you. See if your life doesn't fall apart afterwards. When the McGugerts of New York won the Irish sweepstakes, they were happy. Pop was a steam fitter. Johnny, 26, loaded crates on docks. Tim was going to night school. Pop split the million with his sons. They all said the money wouldn't change their plans. A year later, the million wasn't gone. It was bent. The boys weren't speaking to Pop or each other. Johnny was chasing expensive racehorses. Tim was catching up with expensive girls. Mom accused Pop of hiding the fortune from her. And within 2 years, all of them were in court for non-payment of income taxes. It's the devil's own money, Mom said. Both boys were studying hard to become alcoholics. All of these people had prayed and they had received sudden wealth. All their prayers had been answered, but also all were wrecked on a dollar sign. The love of money is a root of all evil. You know, the Bible doesn't say that it's wrong to be rich. In fact, God wants us to prosper. But Proverbs tells us that there are two ways to riches. There's God's ways and the world's way. But when God blesses and God makes us rich, Proverbs tells us there's no sorrow that goes with it. But the worldly way of gaining wealth brings all kinds of sorrow. And so here Paul calls for Christian contentment in verse 8. Having food and raiment, he says, let us therewith be content. He spoke of the danger involved in riches in verse 9. He would have us know that money grabbing is a sorry occupation. Why? Because it caused some to err from the faith. It's not worth it, is it? It's not worth it to have all these riches and then lose your own soul or to lose your relationship with Jesus Christ. It would not be a good exchange for any of us to make. Brought sorrow into many lives in verse 10. But also how to prevent this dangerous affair is given for us. Notice verses 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. run from them. You know, sometimes it's okay to run from temptation as fast as you possibly can. Turn and flee, O man of God, and instead follow after righteousness, right living, godliness, living like God himself, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's what's really important. Focus on that which is eternal, not the temporal things that are here one day and gone the next. Whereunto thou hast also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Also look at verses 17 through 19. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. Don't be proud of it if you are. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but instead have your security in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in works. Don't focus on the riches of money, but focus on the riches of works. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate, to be able to give and to share your riches with others. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. It's really saying there, store up your treasure in heaven. You know, our treasure here on earth, moth and rust and thieves can break through and corrupt and steal these things. But if we lay our treasure up in heaven, it is eternally secure. So we can prevent this dangerous affair. Also from this passage, there's an Old Testament verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Really what it's saying is, if you get the amount of money you think you need to be happy, when you get it, it doesn't satisfy anyway. You won't be happy. You can never have enough. And that's why these athletes with these huge contracts, they cannot possibly spend all that money in their lifetime, and yet they want more. They're never satisfied with what they have, what they've been given. Open up your hand. Be willing to share of your treasures. Pentecost was the annual Jewish day of harvest. God sovereignly chose that day to pour out his Holy Spirit upon 120 believers who were gathered in the upper room. We read about that in Acts chapter 2. Was it some coincidence that the Holy Spirit, given to empower us as witnesses for Christ, descended at Pentecost? You know what Pentecost means? It means harvest. Was it any coincidence that the Holy Spirit descended on harvest day? The Feast of Pentecost. You know, I don't think it was an accident at all. Pentecost, meaning harvest, Spirit-filled people especially are supposed to be harvesters for God. Or we're not Pentecostal in the true sense of the word. And that's why I believe God has blessed the Assemblies of God in being a Pentecostal movement, because we have been concerned about the harvest and about missions. In our denomination last year, we gave close to $150 million for global evangelism. $150 million, and I thought, that is great, that's tremendous. And then some quick addition. We have about 130 million people in our churches on Sunday mornings over the course of a year. If you add up all the people that come to our church in the course of a year, there was about 130 million people that attended an Assembly of God church. You know what that means? That means that each of our people gave a little over a dollar a week to missions. When you look at it that way, it's not real good, and you know the Assemblies of God are the leader in this, in giving. We can do so much more. We can do so much more. The love of money is the root of all evil, but how much better it would be to send it to missions and store up treasures in heaven. I know when I read that, I was convicted. We can do a lot more than what we are already doing. The third dangerous love affair, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
This know also that in the last days perilous times times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy.
The part that I'm interested in that verse is that men shall be lovers of their own selves. To love oneself is a dangerous love affair. In fact, we could ask ourselves the question, what is love? What is love? Some grade school kids were asked for their definitions of love. Let me read a few of them to you. These youngsters were only between the ages of 4 and 8 years old as they defined love. Listen to this. When my grandmother got arthritis, she could not bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says she's handsomer than Robert Redford. Or this little tyke wrote, love means you get married and sit around and read books together. Or love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give any of theirs. Those are pretty good definitions of love. 4 to 8 year olds know what love is better than some adults. The thing that impressed me that I noticed in those definitions was every single case was selfless love. It was giving to the other person, not having the motive of getting anything in return or getting something back. It was one of giving. You know, giving is the greatest demonstration of love, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the greatest demonstration of love. Greater love hath no man than this, Jesus said, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. I'm going to go under the same point here of loving oneself. It's a little bit different, but we're going to include it here, the same point. 2 Timothy 4:10. Who has that one?
For demands have forsaken me, have given this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, presence to Galatia, Titus unto Dominica.
Very good.
Those are some difficult names to pronounce there. But right, the love of the world. He loved himself. He loved the world. And the Lord forbids us from doing this. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Don't love this world or the things that are in the world. It's a dangerous love affair. This is the sin that caused Emmaus to forsake Paul. It was a sin that caused him to forsake, to turn his back on the Lord's work, love for the world. It happens today all over the place. People, ministers of the gospel even, and Christian laymen turn their back on the gospel because they develop a love for the world. And Jesus warned in John chapter 12 and verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. This present world system, you know, it's so ungodly. It is godless, and it's under condemnation. This world someday is going to be destroyed. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. They're being preserved. Why? Why are they being reserved? They are being reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Hebrews 12, 25 through 27, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Someday, the only thing that will be left is the things that are eternal. All of the temporary things, including this world, will pass away, will be done away with. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, the fourth love affair. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Jill.
It's kind of the middle of a thought there.
Traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Okay, to love pleasure, more than God is a dangerous love affair. To love pleasure more than God. The word pleasure can be used in several ways. A state of gratification, delight, enjoyment. But here it's used in the sense of sensual gratification, satisfying fleshly desires. Too many believers live carnal lives, living only for pleasure. You know, many would dare not miss a ball game, but find it's easy to miss church. My father-in-law has somebody in his congregation who has Packers season tickets to Packer games. You know what it means? Every home game, he misses church to go to the Packer game. What is more important to him? The Packers. If the Packers played every week in Green Bay, he would be there. He wouldn't be in church. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm not against football. I like football. I like the Packers. But we need to put the Lord first. That's one mark of this present godless age. One type of pleasure, and I have never really hit on this before, and I'm not doing much of it tonight, but one type of pleasure is food. You know, Proverbs 21:17 says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." Here are some other loves. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Another, some big words in that there, Josh.
I wish to the church that Theotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not.
Go ahead, read verse 10 too.
Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church.
Okay, this speaks to us of the love of power. Love of power can be a dangerous love affair. We talked kind of this morning how some people have sold their souls. They do it for power. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13.
We're just going to...
Do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake, you will have food to spare.
Okay. Don't love sleep. A dangerous love affair. Opposite of diligence, which really means to be up early at a task. You compare, Scripture compares diligence with slothfulness over and over again. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, he will not stand before mean men. Now that doesn't mean mean as in difficult people to get along with, angry people. It means, it's the mathematical term mean, which means average. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He'll not stand before average men. He will stand before important people. He will stand before kings. Love not sleep. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. The next love affair.
How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate malice.
Okay, love of simplicity. It's a person who loves playing the part of a fool. A simple person is one who doesn't know very much, doesn't want to gain knowledge. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love to stay foolish, unlearned, ignorant? Foolish here is really the opposite of wisdom. Wisdom is the opposite of foolishness or folly, meaning that the short-term indulgence marks the person who doesn't think about long-term priorities or goals, but lives on the day-to-day basis, asking, what is the most fun at this time? What is the funnest thing that I can do at the moment? And not worried about the future, not worried about plans or goals or knowledge or skills or anything like that, but only living for the fun of the moment. It's the love of simplicity. The Bible warns that that is a dangerous love affair. Or Psalm 109 and verse 17. Two more.
As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him.
Okay. The love of cursing is a dangerous love affair. Because if he loves cursing, he's going to get cursed. Simple as that. And the last one, Psalm 52 and verse 3.
Thou lovest evil more than good, and lie rather than to speak righteousness, Selah.
Selah.
Yeah, Selah. Remember, pause and think about that. It's an important statement here. The psalmist is saying, it's so important that I want you to stop and think about it. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Loving evil and falsehood is a dangerous love affair that the Christian needs to be aware of and stay away from. A heart filled with the love of God and the love for God has neither the time nor the place for these dangerous love affairs in their life. And as we have gone through them tonight, I wonder if there is any that seems attractive to you. Be careful. Be careful. Be warned that those love affairs are dangerous and could bring great destruction to your life, to your ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you also for the warnings that your word gives us. Lord, we want to love you as David did. We want to be a person after your own heart. We want to fulfill the greatest commandment, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we want to be able to perform that second commandment, to love our neighbor as ourself. But Lord, if we are guilty of any of these dangerous and even idolatrous love affairs, we will not be able to fulfill those great commandments. And so tonight I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our heart. If there is anyone here who loves the praise of people and their approval more than you, Lord, that you would help them to confess that. Lord, so that they would be willing to confess you openly. We pray, Lord, that there is any tonight that have the love of money, that they would realize that this is the root of all evil, and it's not a road that they want to go down. It's a dangerous road with ditches on both sides of the street. Lord, we pray that if there is any that has an overabundance of love for themselves or this world, Lord, that you would help them to see the danger of this love affair. And then we pray, Lord, that if there is any that loves pleasure more than you, not putting you first in their lives, but their pleasure comes first. Self-gratification, a mark of this present age in which we live, Lord, that you would convict them of that. Other loves, love of power, love of sleep, help us, Lord, to awaken to the seriousness of that. Love of simplicity, love of cursing, love of evil and falsehood. Lord, help us to have the right kind of love. And as we give you our hearts, we pray, Lord, that you would give us your heart in return. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought tonight it would just be kind of a blessing to be able to sing some love songs to the Lord. Since this is the week of Valentine's Day, let's sing some songs to him. Maybe we could start out with that hymn, Such Love. And then we'll sing a couple of choruses. But let's just focus on the Lord tonight and giving him our heart. When we think about his great love for us, it is much easier to love him in return.
That God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss. Rest till he had fled to bring me not.
return his love to him tonight. Tell the Lord how much you love him. Oh, Lord, tonight we do love you. We love you, Lord. We want to be able to express that tonight. Lord, we do. Through our lips. Lord, our lips express the joy and the love of our soul. Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. That you have purchased our salvation. Lord, that you have bought us with your precious blood. That you have given us life. Life eternal. Hallelujah, Lord. Our only response can be to love you.
By the look on your faces that you really meant it. And I'm sure that that blesses the heart of God tonight. Really, the only response to what he has done for us is to love him in return. We loved him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. I should go in that love this week. Share that love with those that you come in contact with. Share the love of Christ with them. Even though they might be unlovely, share the love of Christ. We're called to love each other. Jesus said, "The world will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another." So God bless you. You are dismissed.